In the 1930s, a guy named Adolf Hitler was trying to gain power in Germany, and in doing so, he went around waving his tattered Bible around, saying that any government that he was in control of would be founded on Christian principles. So in 1934, they elected him Chancellor of Germany, and the next year, Führer of Germany. And Adolf Hitler, in his Christian government, was responsible for the death of over 6 million Jews. In 2013, Lance Armstrong, the cyclist, after years of telling people, you can be like me, just work out, work hard, set your mind on it, was accused of and found guilty of doping. He was using performance-enhancing drugs that helped him win the Tour de France and subsequent races, after years of saying that that was unfair. In 2015, the grandson of Billy Graham, a guy named Tullian Chavijan, very weird name, he's an accomplished author, a lecturer, a Presbyterian pastor. He came and spoke at my seminary. He stepped down from being a pastor. Why? Because he had an affair. Not just one, but three. Those are just a few stories of hypocrisy that we see in our culture, the big ones that stick out. I mean, if I were to get into politics, then we could be here for another 20 minutes, right? Just talking about hypocrisy there. But I don't think that would be a good, I don't think our time would be well spent doing that. But why is it that every time we turn around that we see hypocrisy? Why is it that parents tell their kids not to curse and yet they have mouths like sailors? Why is it that we tell people not to text and drive and yet we get in the car and we get a text message and we're suddenly back there like the world is going to end if we don't answer this text message? I'm guilty of that. In fact, if you've ever gotten an email from me when it says from my iPhone, yeah, I was probably driving. Why is it that teachers tell their students not to cheat and yet cheat on their taxes? Why is it that prominent military leaders talk about and teach about sexual harassment prevention, sexual assault prevention, and yet get caught soliciting sexual favors? Why is it that politicians who are charged with writing laws are caught and arrested for breaking laws? Every time we turn around, it's one hypocritical act after the next. See, I've done a lot of talking in my time in church work, and I've done a lot of talking with people who don't come to church anymore. And the number one reason people give me for why they don't come to church, or maybe why they're not as involved as they used to be, is because they say there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. I think that's only a half truth. Because the full truth would be that this whole world is full of hypocrites. That it's not just a characteristic of Christianity. It's not characteristic of just one socioeconomic class. It's not just characteristic of one group of people. This is a plague that we all deal with. This is a problem that each one of us have. But I think that probably the greatest challenge in talking about hypocrisy is probably defining it. I mean, some people say that being a hypocrite means that you say one thing and you do another. You don't practice what you preach, right? And on the other hand, people say that being a hypocrite is simply being insincere. But when I was looking at Matthew to the earliest time when Jesus uses the word hypocrite, the Greek word there, hypokrites, means pretender. So a hypocrite is somebody who pretends to be something or someone that they're not. A hypocrite is one who makes their outer self appear better than their inward self, but they don't want anyone to know that. Think of a hypocrite like this, like candy corn. Candy corn pretends to be candy. It's not. Or think of it like frozen yogurt. Frozen yogurt pretends to be ice cream. Be ice cream or be nothing. Okay? If you take the definition of hypocrite to the max level, which I think Scripture does, then a hypocrite is someone who thinks that they are perfect or who tries to pretend that they're perfect. Ringing any bells in your head to anyone that you know? I mean, I can think of 10 people off the top of my head who I would label as hypocrites right now, right? Not any of you. You guys are great people, okay? But there's so many people in our life who we say like they're not perfect, and yet they walk around strutting like these self-righteous, holy individuals, right? I mean, their house looks really clean, but they've got a lot of skeletons in the closet. People that think they're perfect, people who pretend that they're perfect in certain areas of their life, but you know better than that. And you would love to call them out on it, right? But don't you do that? Don't you pretend like certain areas of your life are perfect and you don't really tell anyone otherwise? Here's a follow-on question to that. How would you like it if I were to record everything you did, everything you said, and everything you thought in a 24-hour period? Invasion of privacy, right? What if I showed that to your friends? Would it change their opinion of you? If it would, then you're a hypocrite. Because you've been pretending to be perfect. You've been pretending to be somebody that you're not. I think the author Mark Twain probably says it best, that everyone is a moon. We all have a dark side that we don't want anybody to see. And that's what Jesus calls the Pharisees out on. The Pharisees were meant to be a people who brought God's law, who brought God's word. Their position was a position of honor. They had the honor of delivering God's word to people, much like you could think of it as a pastor today. But so often in the lives of these Pharisees, Jesus accuses them of being hypocrites. Jesus accuses them of preaching one thing and not practicing it at all. In fact, Jesus even says in our reading that they give heavy burdens to people, that they lay on more of the law than needs to be put on someone. And I was just thinking, why is it that somebody would want to do that to someone else? Why would somebody want someone else to feel bad? Or why would somebody want other people to look at this guy who's really messed up? It's probably to take the focus off of themselves. See, their outer self was much different than their inner self. They portrayed themselves as these holy individuals who kept the law in every way, and yet they didn't. And Jesus sees right through it. See, it's for this reason that Jesus says, call no one on earth your father, call no one your instructor. And from my research, and not, there's a lot of pastors in here retired. If you guys disagree with me, I understand. But from my research and my look through commentaries and through other parts of the Bible, that does not mean that you can't call your dad father. That does not mean that you can't call your pastor or your priest father. Okay, what Jesus is saying here is that you should not elevate any individual on this earth up to the level of God. No one on earth should be your God at all. There is no one on this earth from whom salvation flows out of, would be the simplest way to put it. And then at the end of our reading, Jesus gives the antithesis to hypocrisy: humility. See, in humility, there is no pretending. In humility, you can't pretend that you're perfect. In humility, you freely say that you're a broken individual. I am broken. I can't do it on my own. I am not perfect. But let's bring it back to today. Whether this is your first or second or third time in a church, or whether you've been here since you were a baby, I'm sure that you struggle when you see hypocrisy in the church. See, we all come together and we have all these smiling faces, right? We have a good time with one another. We worship God. And then as soon as the service is over, maybe you hear somebody say, did you see what so-and-so was wearing today? Tacky. Or you hear somebody across the aisle make a smart aleck remark. Or you hear somebody criticize one of the pastors for stumbling over a couple of words. Or maybe you just hear him being a jerk. And you think, why should I keep coming to a place? Why should I be more involved with a place where these people come and they hear God's word and they say that they want to live according to God's word, and yet they don't? Here's my best response to that. Not going to church or not being more involved in the body of Christ because there's hypocrites or imperfect people here is like not going to the gym because there's fat people there. I'm serious. Because if you're not going to come to church because there's imperfect people here, that's pretty messed up. See, people who go to the gym are trying. They know that they're not going to get any better sitting on their butt at home. You're not going to grow at all in faith towards Jesus Christ if you're sitting on your keister at home eating potato chips, watching TV. I can guarantee you that. See, we all have this need to be here, to grow with others, to be in a hospital, you might say, where we're getting better, not because of anything that we do, but all because of what Jesus does. And that's what I'm saying to you right now, is that you need Jesus. You need him. And yet so often you put up this facade that you're this perfect individual, or maybe this area of your life is perfect because you don't want anyone to know the brokenness that's behind the scenes. But yet in pretending it's perfect, what you're saying is that you don't need any help. When you say that you're perfect, when you continue in the hypocrisy, you're saying that you can take the broken bits of your life, whether it has to do with your finances or your marriage or looking at porn or cheating on your taxes or gossiping about people or whatever else, and say that you can somehow make that whole. Let me be very clear. You can't. You cannot take the broken pieces that are your life and bring it back to restoration. Only Jesus can do that. And he does. See, last week when Nicholas got baptized, I'm glad that I was kind of off to the side because I was tearing up. Because there's a beauty in baptism. That God makes someone his own. That just normal water, we get it from the tap back there, is brought out here and we pour it on their head and we read God's word, and that person is now made a part of God's family. And that's why we baptize babies too, because it's nothing that we do. It's everything that God does for us. It's what God does to make us perfect, to bring us in to his death and resurrection. That's the beauty of what you're going to see today as we take the Lord's Supper. Jesus says, you've got to drink my blood and eat my flesh. When one of your pastors says to you that you're forgiven, believe it, because it's true, and that mends the broken heart. John, in 1 John says that, confess your sins and you'll be forgiven. You're not perfect. Quit pretending to be. I'm sure you've heard that the church is the bride of Christ, right? I've just got to be honest. The bride is not always super pretty. The bride often wakes up with bad hair days. The bride might at times look like a clown after a night of partying, just ravaged. Let me be even more honest with you, that the body of Christ, this church, contains people who can be jerks, contains people who are disrespectful, contains people who are insubordinate, contains people who talk behind other people's backs, contain people who've looked at porn, people who have broken marriages, broken relationships with their children, whatever it is. But the thing that sets Christians apart from everyone else is that they don't want to stay that way. They don't. And this is why I believe firmly that there can't be any hypocrites in the church. You're not a hypocrite. You're a sinner. You're a broken person. Because hypocrisy is pretending to be perfect. So if you're pretending to be perfect, you can't be a Christian, because in your perfection, you have no need for Jesus. I'm not perfect. I've tried to do it on my own. I've failed time and time again. I'm sure you have too. You're not perfect. That's why you need Jesus. See, you need to run to the cross, because the cross is the only thing that can give you what you need. The cross is the only thing that can make those broken pieces fit back together again. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, that he gives you perfection, that he imputes to you his righteousness. It's not what you do. If it was based on what you do, well, that would really stink. See, Christianity is not about being perfect. It's quite the opposite. Christianity is about broken people coping with the reality that they can't get better on their own, that they need someone to jump into the hole that they've dug themselves into and pull them out. And that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. See, I'd encourage you to all have that conversation with someone this week, to take your everyday conversation a little bit deeper and say, you know the reason why I go to church? Because I'm messed up. And I can't do it on my own. Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen.